Good morning, everybody. My name is Sarup Sandhu. I am a PhD student at the University of Florida. And today I'm going to present one of my master's research that I conducted at South Dakota State University. And this is the title of my talk. I would like to quickly thank my co-authors in this talk for helping me out in various aspects. So I will start with a brief introduction. Over the past few decades, there has been increased conversion of natural systems such as grasslands to croplands or forests to croplands, specifically to row crop system. And farmers have increased the corn cultivations in northern Great Plains. And they use intensive management practices, and that decreases the soil organic matter specifically in northern Great Plains. So it has degraded the soil in various aspects. So there have been various ways identified to restore these degraded lands, such as no-till farming, where we do not disturb the soil, and also at the same time we maximize the soil health benefits from it. Also, there is diverse crop rotation and integration of cover crops and addition of organic amendments such as manure and compost. But over the past few years, biochar has emerged as a potential soil amendment that can improve the soil properties. However, it is still uncertain how the biochar can influence the microbial activity at different landscape positions, specifically in northern Great Plains. So as the speaker before me identified, there are various factors that can affect the biochar functions, and even we check the literature. There has been a lot of research conducted to see the impact of biochar on soil properties and greenhouse gas emissions, and some researchers they report the positive impact, some they say like no differences, and some even report the negative impact of biochar on soil properties. And one way is due to because there are factors such as feedstock selection and pyrolysis conditions in which the biochar is made, it affects the biochar ability to act as a soil amendment. So the objective of my research was to determine the influence of different types of biochars on soil microbial activity at different landscape positions and then compare it with those of manure. So this is my study site. It is located in South Dakota. This is around 5 miles south of South Dakota State University, where I finished my master's. And we have two landscape positions. One is eroded landscape, and it is located at the shoulder position, and it is more prone to erosion. The soil type there is sandy loam soil, and another landscape position we have is depositional landscape, and the soil type there is clay loam soil. I'm sorry, the table is a little messed up here. These are actually, we have 6 treatments, but I can talk about these treatments in the next couple of slides. So these 6 treatments along with 4 applications were laid down according to randomized complete block design at each landscape position. A little bit about the agronomic information. So the soybean crop was grown during the growing season, and this is the information about variety, planting date and harvest, and there was no fertilizer addition during the growing season. So I took the soil samples before planting, after planting, and after harvest of soybean in 2015. I'm sorry, there is a typo here. Actually, this experiment was started in 2013, where we applied biochar and manure at 10 megagram per hectare in the first 7.5 centimeter of soil. And then the plots were maintained under no-till system, and no additional manure or biochar was applied in subsequent years. So I analyzed the soil samples for enzyme activity that included one enzyme for carbon cycling, that is beta-glucosidase, one for nitrogen cycling, that is urease, and also I analyzed the carbon fractions that included cold water, hot water, and acid extractable carbon. And I also analyzed the microbial community structure using PLFA analysis. But during this talk, I'm going to show the results for the average of all three sampling times. So now I will talk about the results. Since the table was a little messed up in the previous slides, so I can talk about my treatments one more time. So I had three biochar treatments that included Conestover biochar, switchgrass biochar, and pinewood biochar. And also I had a manure treatment, and then there was a treatment where we mixed biochar, pinewood biochar with manure, and the sixth one was control where no biochar or manure was applied. So this graph here shows the cold water extractable carbon at two landscape positions, and the blue bar represent depositional landscape and red one represents erodal landscape, and these upper letters are the statistical differences at depositional landscape positions, and lower letters are for eroded landscape positions. And here we did not observe any significant differences in terms of cold water extractable carbon at both landscape positions. Similarly, for cold water extractable nitrogen, there were no significant differences. And this could be due to the fact that this was the third year of biochar application, and usually the cold water extractable carbon is considered as the most viable carbon that the microbes can use. So there might be the chances that microbes have already used the cold water extractable carbon, if any, during the previous 2 years. So this graph here shows the hot water extractable carbon, where we did not observe any significant differences at depositional landscape positions. However, there was a significant increase in hot water extractable carbon with manure application compared to the control. And similarly for hot water extractable nitrogen, no differences were observed at the depositional landscape position, but all the treatments significantly increased the hot water extractable nitrogen at eroded landscape position. And then the third one is acid extractable carbon and nitrogen. Again, we observed an increase in acid water extractable carbon with manure and pinewood biochar at depositional landscape positions, and only manure increased the acid water extractable carbon at eroded landscape position. And at the for acid water extractable nitrogen, no significant differences were there for depositional, and again manure significantly increased the acid extractable nitrogen at eroded landscape position. And this could be due to the differences in the carbon chemistry between biochar and manure, where they have where manure is more aliphatic in nature. On the other hand, biochar is more aromatic in nature. So this graph shows the beta-glucosidase activity at depositional landscape positions, and similar to the labile carbon fractions that we observed in previous few slides, only manure was able to increase the beta-glucosidase activity at depositional landscape position. And also, the manure treatments increase the beta-glucosidase activity at eroded landscape positions. And again, this is due to the increased carbon fractions at both landscape positions with manure application. And similar trend was observed for urease activity, where we only observed the positive significant effects of manure applications, and biochar did not have any significant differences compared to the control treatment. The last one is fungal to bacterial ratio. Actually, this is fungal to bacterial ratio, but somehow I wrote it in the wrong way. Sorry about that. So here also, the manure was able to increase the fungal to bacterial ratio at both landscape positions. And this is because, as I said, there were significant increase in cold water, hot water, and acid acceptable carbon at both landscape positions. So in the conclusions, I would say that biochar had minimal effects on soil carbon and nitrogen fractions, where more profound impact was observed at with the manure application. And again, as I said, it could be due to the fact that carbon chemistry is different for manure and biochar. And similarly, manure treatment significantly increased the microbial activity at both landscape positions. So the short-term application of biochar, 2 years, the study period was 3 years after the application of biochar, it might not have an impact on the microbial activity. However, we may see differences in next couple of years, if any. So therefore, we need long-term studies to better understand the response of microbial processes to biochar application. And I would like to acknowledge the USDA funding agency for supporting this study and South Dakota Agricultural Experiment Station for helping us establishing this experiment, and all my wonderful labmates and friends at South Dakota State University. Thank you.
Any questions for Sonny? I have one. Tell me about your pyrolysis temperature for your biochar. What kind of temperature?
Actually, it's not on the top of my head, but I think it was around 350.
Okay, so that's a little surprising that you don't have any sort of volatile matter that should really be triggering, in my opinion, the microbial. But anyway, that would be an important thing to think about. Anybody else?
I think he has a question.
Okay. I'm still wondering a little bit about your treatment, and I might have missed something. I'm sorry about that. You applied the biochar in 2013 and 2015. What about the manure?
The biochar and manure were applied at the same time, and then the plots were maintained under no-till system. And we did not disturb the plots, and there were no application of manure or biochar in subsequent years. So it was applied only once in 2013. I think this is due to the fact that the manure has mostly more labile carbonate in it because of its aliphatic nature. So that is quickly or in terms of like easily decomposable compared to biochar, where it is aromatic in nature. Thank you.
Anybody else? Okay, so we will adjourn.